So I don't know how your bodybuilding is coming along. I suspect if you're physically going to the gym each week, you expect to see some improvement over time. And for some weeks, we have been bodybuilding spiritually. And I wonder how you're getting on. This evening, we come to our ears. And we want to think about how we can muscle up, tone up our ears, not physically, but attentively, spiritually, because our ears are bombarded every moment of every day, aren't they? And we need to heed what we hear. Your ears are a remarkable organ. Despite their size and intricate components, the ability to convert sound waves into words and sounds that we can understand outstrip their size. And it should never cease to amaze us, particularly those of us who are Christians. As the sound waves are directed into our eardrum, three tiny bones carry those vibrations into the inner ear, from where they're sent to the brain and converted into intelligible sounds that we can understand and respond to. Interestingly, unlike your eyes or other parts of your body, you can't turn your ears off. They never stop working. Even when you're asleep, they're still working. Interestingly, the brain just knows that you're asleep and changes how that sound is processed. Ears never stop working. In a crowded, noisy room, your ears can pick out the one voice that you know or that calls your name. It's a phenomenal organ. It is truly remarkable, and that shouldn't surprise us. Proverbs 20, verse 12 tells us that the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Great indeed are the wonders and the mysteries of our God. Doesn't that fill you with awe and wonder? The hearing eye, the seeing eye, the hearing ear, the Lord has made them both. But you don't know what you've got until it's gone. In recent years, my father-in-law has gone deaf. And that's given me a whole new understanding about hearing. It's isolating. And it can be dangerous for both the person who's deaf and the passenger in their car. Unable to hear warnings, sirens, shouts, alarms, sounds that we take for granted, which when we hear, we know what to do. We could be killed for want of hearing. But it's also dangerous when we can hear. Who hasn't answered their phone to a scammer? It's equally dangerous when we can hear but choose not to hear, turning a deaf ear. What Solomon writes in these opening chapters of his book here shows us that he's well aware of the danger that can arise from what we hear as well as from failing to listen to what we hear. He is concerned to his son with who his son is listening to, with what his son is hearing, and what he will do as a result. You know, the distance from our ears to our minds and our hands and our feet, when measured with a spiritual ruler, is much closer than you may think. And if we're not aware of this, we could find ourselves in trouble. You see, it isn't only Solomon's sons who need to develop some ear muscle. We live in perilous times. Scammers may be after our money, but even more sinister and dangerous are the many deceptive voices who speak lies as truth. So who are we listening to? Who has your ear? Repeatedly, we see here that Solomon urges his son to turn his ear, to incline his ear, to listen to him, to listen to his teaching. Verse 1 and 2, my son of chapter 2, if you receive my words, treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. In 4:20 that we read there, turn your ears to my incline your ears to my sayings. In chapter 5, my son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. Why is this so important? Because hearing the right person will result in hearing the right words or the right message. And Solomon knows that there are competing voices with competing messages. And each one is more tempting than the next. And Solomon pleads with his son to listen to him. And in chapter 5, he vividly describes the dangers and the reality of sexual temptation. Solomon couldn't have been more up to date. Who we listen to could be the difference between life and death. Genesis chapter 3, Eve listened to the wrong voice. And Solomon doesn't want his son to make the same mistake, so he's urgent. He doesn't assume that his son will automatically hear what he says the first time around. How many parents have experienced exasperation or school teachers when calling their child and giving them information and repeatedly they don't appear to listen? Chapter 2, verse 2, make your ear attentive, says Solomon. And he's saying, in effect, pay attention, prick up your ears, because you need to listen to this. There's danger. Because there are other voices out there that want your attention and that want you to hear their message. And his imagery is clear, isn't it? I love the imagery in chapter 5 and verse 3. Her speech is smoother than oil. Her words are seductive because she is seductive. Keep clear. Keep clear of her. Chapter 5 and verse 8. Keep your way far from her. Don't even go to the door of her house. How true today in this age of social media, we need to take care of who we listen to. We don't have to go knocking on people's doors to hear people anymore. It may be the flirty temptress or the false teacher. Both are appealing and both are dangerous. And both have spiritual consequences. When we linger longer over that website, that podcast, that TikTok or that YouTube video. And Solomon's plea is an earnest plea to his son to listen to him. Who will we listen to? Who will we listen to? Solomon, in 5 verses 12 to 14, we have here that how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my heart to instructors. I'm at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. Here Solomon's assuming the voice of his son if he doesn't heed the warnings. How tragic those verses are. Look at again in verse 14, verse 13. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers. I am in utter ruin. The danger couldn't be clearer. Who are we listening to? Who are you listening to? And then secondly, we want to ask ourselves, and Solomon asks, what are we hearing? What is the message that's going through our ears and into our minds? Solomon wants his son to hear wisdom because the alternative, whilst attractive, is disastrous. The so-called wisdom of the world has great appeal. It promises much. And it even encourages us to pursue things that we want to pursue. Says it's okay. And we are notoriously good at convincing ourselves that a little look, a little listen, won't be too bad. Well, that takes us back to Genesis 3 again, doesn't it, to Eve? And we fall for it again and again. What are some of the appealing lies that we hear today and we hear them as truth? Well, you're basically a good person, but you do bad things from time to time. You can be anything you want to be. That's got us into a mess, doesn't it? It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. Sounds good, doesn't it? Great appeal. Follow your heart. How many times have I heard that? I'm not that bad and God isn't that good. No wonder Solomon is urgent in calling his son to listen to his wisdom. We need to hear the truth so we can spot the lies, the errors, the half-truths. Why is it so important for us, for Solomon's son? Because by searching for wisdom, he will find the wisdom that God gives. Chapter 2 and verses 5 and 6. you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. He says, search for this, because you'll find it will lead you to know God and it will lead you to know how to live for God. Look down there in verses 9 and 10, verses we didn't read. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasing to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil. That's why it's so important. The world's wisdom can be useful. Of course it is. But the wisdom God gives is more than head knowledge. Modern man in his cleverness has written God out of his wisdom as if he's no longer needed. And so the world is neither in awe of God nor in fear of him. Only those who know him, who have put their faith in him, truly know what it is to fear him. Not in some kind of terrifying, cringing way, but rather in reverent awe, because we know he made our ears. He made us. Wonder. Do we gaze in wonder? In humble, cautious confidence that he hears us. That's remarkable. Doesn't that fill you with awe and wonder that he hears you? A fear that thrills us because we know him. Or in the words of the late Jim Packer, knowing God is a relationship designed to thrill a person's heart. Knowing God is a relationship designed to thrill a person's heart. The world's wisdom will not bring you to know God. If wisdom leads to the fear of the Lord, then the person who fears the Lord is one who has heard him and has committed themselves to him and has surrendered themselves to him and to his will. What good is a wisdom without God? We need wisdom to know right from wrong, wisdom that will protect us. But we need the wisdom that will lead us to know, understand and experience God. This wisdom comes through hearing the right person with the right message, the right teacher. You see, when our ears are attentive to God's truth, when we hear what he says, we will know what it is to fear God, to obey him. Fear is at the very heart of what it means to have a relationship with him, awe and wonder. And then thirdly, what are we doing with what we hear? What are we doing with what we hear? While we can't turn off our ears, we can choose to turn a deaf ear. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 13. Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. Will himself call out and not be answered. Tragic. Being able to hear and hearing are two different things, aren't they? We can turn a deaf ear to what we don't like or what we don't want to do, and that's dangerous. Especially when God's speaking to us. Those who truly know God, who truly fear him, will show forth his love, caring for others. Listening to the poor is one evidence that we have heard and understood the fear of the Lord. You see, we cannot claim to know God, have a relationship with God, and at the same time close our ears to the cries of the poor and assume then that God will hear us and everything will be okay. When we move to the New Testament, we see that James is concerned about wisdom as well and about listening and hearing. And he says in James 1 and 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so deceive yourselves. It's one thing to hear what God says. It's another thing to put it into practice. You see, Solomon's concern with his son is that he will demonstrate he's heard by how he lives and do the right thing. Respond to the right teaching. At the airport just the other week, as we were coming through security, you know how you put everything in your bags and then they go into trays and the trays go through the security and all of that stuff going on. And suddenly the whole thing came to a halt, and it's slow enough as it is. And this security guard came rushing through and he says, "People don't listen," he said. "That's why we tell you to put everything in your bags." And someone had lost something because they hadn't listened, hadn't obeyed, hadn't heard the right voice. It's no good asking fellow passengers what to do. They're as ignorant as everybody else. Ask the right person. It's all up there in the signs. It's being told us repeatedly. Put everything in your bags. Put your bag into a tray. Don't leave any loose things like... And the whole thing, hundreds of people held up because someone had lost, apparently, a license. Well, maybe not that disastrous, but if we're not listening and responding correctly to the right voice, to God's voice, it's far more serious than losing a license. You see, brothers and sisters, in chapter 5 and verse 3, in the world in which we live, we cannot escape hearing words that are smoother than oil. We can't escape hearing the lies of the world, but how are we going to know that they're lies? We're bombarded with them daily, and we hear them from every direction. But we must heed Solomon's teaching and prick up our ears to hear the wisdom that comes from the mouth of God. How are we to do this? By paying attention to this book, the Word of God, by making that our priority. David Atkinson, in his commentary on Proverbs, he suggests that the summons to hear wisdom is really a summons to hear God. Are we listening? Are we listening? The summons to hear wisdom is a summons to hear God. And the wise person does not merely listen to God's word, but loves to hear it and is ready to obey it. There are those, of course, who claim to have all the answers to the great mysteries, who claim to have secret truths. And we've all got queries we want answers to. In every generation, there will be those who claim to have direct access to God, who discloses to them secret things that he apparently doesn't disclose to anyone else. We may call them the scammers of the theological world. But brothers and sisters, when we start listening to and chasing after those who claim to have answers to mysteries, we may well be lured away from the truth. No longer captivated with the divine voice of Jesus, preferring instead the ideas, for that's all they are, of man. And John Piper said something like this. I can't remember the exact quote, but he says, "When the heart isn't captivated by the voice of God, it will be captivated by something else. It will be captivated by something else. Lured away from God." Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, he says, "The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having their itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and then will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Could that be you? Me? Are you at risk? Have you been more captivated with the voice of man on YouTube or podcasts than the voice of Jesus? More fascinated with the conspiracies and the schemes than the divine truth that comes from the mouth of God? Paul describes them in 1 Timothy as liars. And he says, have nothing, just like Solomon, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, he says, train yourself for godliness. Like Solomon, Paul warns Timothy of the dangers of listening to what we want to hear. The things we want to do. Things that really are contrary to the Bible, but appealing. A little listen, a little look. Things that are attractive to our ears. We need to build in some ear muscle. We need to do some ear exercise. You know, truth can harden people. Maybe you've experienced sharing the gospel with a friend and they become hardened. They don't like it. Well, the temptation, what, is to mess with the message, isn't it? Make it more palatable. We'll maintain our popularity and our friendship. It may even fill our churches. But merely telling people what they want to hear rather than the truth they need to hear, that's disastrous. Anything less than the whole gospel results in nominal Christianity. And it's inadequate for the challenges in life and the certainty of death. You see, when the gospel is heard, Jesus is heard. And people need to hear Jesus. We need to hear Jesus. If you're a Christian this evening, then you need to know that your Heavenly Father is concerned with who you listen to and what you listen to and what you do as a result. Yes, we will lose some battles with our ears. We will listen to the wrong music or the wrong words or the wrong people. We will listen to what's alluring and attractive. But fighting the battle with our ears is a sign that God's at work in our lives, a sign of our ongoing sanctification, and a sign of our dependence on Jesus' obedience to his Father's voice, because only Jesus has heard perfectly and obeyed perfectly, and we need to run to him. And that will build ear muscle. Or maybe this evening you've heard the gospel many times but turned a deaf ear to the truth, preferring instead to believe what you want to believe. How many times have I met people like that? How disastrous it is for those who hear the right person, who hear the right words, but do nothing, and in doing nothing, find that they have done something catastrophic. They've consigned themselves to an eternity without God. Proverbs 2:14, utter ruin. Utter ruin. The Bible teaches that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. No other way. The message of the gospel is serious and urgent because the danger is serious. You know, when God affirmed the Lord Jesus Christ to Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, he didn't give them a big exposition. He didn't even answer Peter's query about what was going on. He just said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Brothers and sisters, we could do no better. We could do no better. The right person, the right message. Like Solomon, Jesus is urgent. "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." He doesn't assume we'll listen. So, like Solomon, he's saying, in effect, pay attention. Peter, James, and John, and David, and Diane, and put your own name in there. Pay attention, prick up your ears, take note, because catastrophe lurks in words that are smoother than oil, and it's eternal separation from God. There's nothing more dangerous. In the noisy world in which we live and work, where there are many voices after your ears, let's attune our ears to the one voice that matters. The one wisdom that matters. Wisdom that is a call to live God's way. The one voice that you and I need to recognize above the crowd is the voice of Jesus. Make sure tonight that one day you will not say with Solomon's son, "I did not listen. I did not incline my ear." But rather that you did hear the voice of Jesus say, "Behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him." Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus who speaks to us today through the word of God. Oh, that you would give us ears to hear, and that we would come and drink freely and respond to that invitation to come and find life, life in all its fullness that flows from the life of Christ. Father, I pray for each one of us this evening, those perhaps who are listening to the wrong voices, those who have heard your voice many times but have not responded, that tonight we may respond and find life in you. In Jesus' name, amen.